This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I'm Aaron Sagers, and this is Talking Strange.
Aloha, spooky nerds, and welcome to Talking Strange, a paranormal pop culture show with the Den of Geek Network. I'm your host, journalist, author, researcher of many weird things, Aaron Sagers. You can also catch me as the host of the Netflix series 28 Days Haunted, and also I appear on the Travel Channel and Discovery Plus series Paranormal Caught on Camera. We have new episodes airing until I think our season finale is December 4th, so you should check that out. But, okay, we are past Halloween, you guys know that, and we are full throttle into the holiday season, and Thanksgiving really is a holiday for stuffing our faces. Oddly enough, we are talking about giving thanks, but we do it by consuming all of our resources around us. It's a holiday for stuffing our faces and eating way too much food, surrounded by family, surrounded by friends, sometimes surrounded by people we don't even like. And it is a great time to watch movies, and not just movies, but turkey-esque movies. And for 30 years, MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000, has been doing it. It has been the appetizer, the main course, the digestif of Thanksgiving Day. And this year, it's no different. In fact, it is supercharged. It is surgically enhanced. It is the annual Mystery Science Theater 3000 Turkey Day Marathon, and it's the biggest one in the entire history of this show, because beginning at 7 a.m., Eastern Time, 4 a.m. Pacific on Thursday, November 24th, Thanksgiving is getting the Turkey Day Marathon that's going to feature a MST3K extended lineup of 10 feature-length episodes, and that includes two feature-length episodes and a short from the show's current 13th season. And those episodes, those 13 season ones, they're going to be screening for the first time outside of MST3K's independent streaming platform, the Gizmoplex. Now, what are we going to be seeing with the Turkey Day Marathon? Alongside Santo and the Treasure of Dracula, which I love, and we have Beyond Atlantis, there's The Horror of Party Beach, and we have new host segments featuring Felicia Day and Rebecca Hansen, a.k.a. Kinga and Cynthia Forrester. Now, you'll be able to watch the 2022 Turkey Day Marathon ad-free in the Gizmoplex or at gizmoplex.com, and that is the streaming platform, the indie streaming platform for MST3K. You can also catch it on various other streaming platforms and apps. So, without further ado, I've been yammering long enough. Let me go ahead and bring in the hosts of the MST3K Turkey Day Marathon, Rebecca Hansen.
Hi.
Hi there. And Felicia Day. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. So good to see you again, Felicia, and good to meet you, Rebecca. And I'm excited. And I'm happy for you guys to see one another, too.
I know. It's been like 2 weeks or so since we've seen each other. It's been so long.
Yeah.
I know. I miss you. I ate all of your Halloween candy. Were you able to make it through Halloween after all of your Skittles?
You didn't eat enough because there are still some left. And we had no trick-or-treaters this year, which is kind of typical for our neighborhood. But every now and again, I'm like, I hope I can pawn some of this candy off on children. I don't know.
I have so much extra candy. I don't know what to do with it. Like, I want to just shove it out the door. Throwing it out feels lit. I mean, I don't know what to do with it.
You can't just like set it outside somewhere, because like outside of Halloween, just random piles of candy seem somewhat suspicious.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like just picking up a Reese's off the table.
Right.
Or the ground.
I don't know.
Before we moved into Thanksgiving, since we were already talking about Halloween, it is. What were some of your favorite items you got from your haul or from your kids' haul or whatever? What's the hot candy this year? Is it pretty much the standard? Is it the Reese's Pieces or what?
You know, my kid got some Fruit Loops.
Wow.
In a package. Fruit Loops. And I was like, this is perfect because this is not real food.
Yeah.
We've lied to ourselves all of our lives that this is cereal, a breakfast cereal. But in fact, it's candy.
It's candy.
And I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Was it like one of those little mini like cereal boxes or was it like?
It was a little, just like a little, you know, a flexible thing. Yep.
And Rebecca, it does seem like you're situated in a very lovely house, a nicely appointed house, but
she lives in a shack.
I know, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Is from the outside or you the creepy old house at the end of the block? Why didn't you get any trick-or-treaters?
You know, I don't know. It just doesn't really happen around here, like at all. Not my house, because I sit outside and look at everyone going by. No, there's not a lot of foot traffic over here.
I got three people this year.
Oh, okay.
So I have a very low. I will say that Rebecca made me feel very shameful about my own house because you are you have impeccable decorating sense. Like the stuff you put on the walls, it feels like a professional decorator came in.
Felicia Day, who is paying you to say this?
I'm serious. If you need a designer.
But look at your fancy office background. Like, I'm jealous of those shelves.
There's crap everywhere. There's a bag right there. I just was lazy and I paid $20 in DoorDash and an SIE bowl. It's crap. It's all crap.
I like them both for different reasons. Felicia, it looks like you have a flux time capacitor back there somewhere, like just some random black box that.
Listen, I went to my storage unit. I like to, what I do is I do charity auctions for, you know, schools around town and I get all this crap for free, which I love, but I don't have room for it all. Sure. Like here's a Diablo statue. It's a collector's edition cyberpunk statue. I really don't need it. I don't need a man flying through the air, shooting someone. I do have a 5-year-old. It's it's really awesome. I have a couple of other things, you know, so basically I take it, I either give it to the school that my kid goes to do the silent auction thing. Sure. I do some online things. I support several, you know, places and I just did my charity giving and I'm doing Christmas shopping today.
Yeah.
So this is awful. I'm awful right now.
No, it's just like you play evil on TV, but you're not evil in real life. You're very giving.
That's a good follow-up question about the evil powers of Felicia Day. I mean, right there, even in her charity work that she just mentioned, she doesn't want her kid having something that flies around and fires things, but you're willing to give it away for charity so other people can have an object that flies around and fires things.
Ideally, a 5-year-old isn't buying that item. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's appropriate for, you know, 13 and up. Like, why not have a man with a handgun, you know, shooting somebody else? That's fine. I just feel like maybe in a couple of years, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
Since it's been a couple of weeks since you've seen one another, are you still in production for MST3K or was this a social call?
Well, you know, some Turkey Day stuff had to be recorded, so we did it a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that okay to say?
Mm-hmm. I think shouldn't be a secret. I don't think people actually think that you're in space recording.
Well, we did go to space.
Some people
like
do,
we met at my house and then we flew up to space. We flew up to the SOL.
I still have a back problem from like the whole, you know.
Yeah.
Height thing, mm-hmm. The depressurization, all that stuff. Oof. I went to PT today.
Okay.
So I go on Wednesday for mine. So
launch pad to the satellite of love, right there. Yeah. Let's get into this the reason we're talking today. I feel like I'm dressed appropriately. This is somewhat an autumnal outfit. You guys are in sunny locations and I'm in New York City, where it's cold.
You're in New York. Does it feel like fall right now to you?
Is it autumn in New York now? Is it autumn in New York?
It's weird because a couple days ago it was like 75 degrees in New York, so it was a weird hellscape apocalyptic scenario. But now, you know, we've totally forgotten about climate change, and it's a lovely cold day. So it's back to normal.
I've got a sweater on and it's like 72.
But like this morning it was like 45 degrees. Like at 7 when I walked the dog, it was like 45 degrees. So it's like it's crisp. That's crisp.
That's as crisp as I ever need to be though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know you lived in Chicago. Like, would you ever go back there?
I'm yes and no. Like it is funny how I get very cold when it's 45 degrees here. Whereas in November, 45 in Chicago would be like, ooh, winter hasn't even started yet. Yeah.
I'm looking at your coast, guys. I've done Chicago, I've done New York, and I'm done with the cold. So
with these, come on over.
I know. With the Turkey Day Marathon, as much, what can you tell us about what Kinga and Cynthia are up to in the Satellite of Love, or what they're up to during the Turkey Day antics? Anything that you can dish about their storylines?
There's nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
Affection and all sorts of, you know.
Yeah.
I think Kinga's going to turn over a new leaf. You know, we always like to see a big character arc, especially with a Mad. You really want to see the soft side of Mads. And, you know, look forward to bubble baths and kittens and some baby rabbits, maybe.
Bonding, just bonding between the two.
I mean, wear each other's nails.
Yeah. We braid each other's hair. It's pretty sweet. I mean, Kinga does make something special for Turkey Day, and that's all I'm really going to say. We'll see if how well it's received.
Yeah.
Or they or it or that or whatever it is.
I'll tell you this. We shot for 3 or 4 hours, and I couldn't speak for the next 2 days.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
I lost my voice. Oh, no. There's a little bit of yelling going on.
Yeah, I had to shoot a little bit that afternoon. I was definitely, I was a little worn out the next day. It was fun.
Well, the episodes are touted as 8 of the classic episodes are newly remastered. That's the surgically enhanced bit that we've learned. Beyond that, did Joel kind of, when he was gathering you together to lead everything for this Turkey Day, was there anything else that he said? Did he set up this particular adventure in any specific way?
I just think it's impressive that they've upgraded the movies. Like, a lot of people are very techie, and they are, you know, they have the technical eye. I know a lot of people are like, when are you going to do a Blu-ray of the Guild? I'm like, I'm not going to do that. First of all, the first season was SD. So I think it's really cool that the show has gone the mile to make these crisper and clearer. And so I think a lot of fans, even if you've seen these movies, they're all so rewatchable. But even if you've seen them before, like, this is going to be a new experience. You'll probably see things that you haven't seen before.
You're
going
to see it so much better. Yeah. You'll literally see it so much better. And then you'll be like, wow, even though this looks so great, it's still such a train wreck of a movie. You know, there's like only so much lipstick you can put on the pig. But it's still like a glorious pig that you're going to try to chase and watch.
And Rebecca, I want to let you know that, because many people are not aware that MST3K has Marvel MCU level of security. I knew you were a little concerned about saying you were just filming some pickups and whatnot, but the ever watching gods in the private chat have let me know that you're okay having talked about that. So there's Kevin Feige-esque person coming after you.
Okay,
for this.
True.
You're safe.
I mean, honestly, if they want things to look good, they can't necessarily be live. You know what I'm saying? Like, some things are live and appropriately live, and then some things are taped so that they look really good later and are edited and things like that. So the cool thing about MST3K is that it's always a little bit janky, and that's the attractive part of it.
Well, there's been this evolution. You know, obviously the series came back. It did?
What?
Amazing success. Oh, I know. Yes, I'm telling you this. Okay. This is my exposition moment, okay?
I like it. I'm sorry.
It came back to great fanfare, great success. Mm-hmm. And now we've evolved and we're on this Gizmoplex platform. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed like an evolution of the series itself since it's kind of moved to this dedicated indie streaming platform? Has that altered the way business is done, or the way just the sausage is made, as it were? Felicia, what's your thought since you've been with it since the resurrection?
I mean, I have to say I had such a good time this season. It felt like, I mean, I'm always better under less pressure. And I feel like having like the layers of like, to me, if you have a lot of oversight and a lot of layers of approval, it just kind of ruins the spontaneity of the comedy and the wackiness and the fun of it. And I think that's what MST3K does so well. It started grassroots It does grassroots the best of anything. And I felt freer and more fun to goof off and play this last season than any other season. I don't know how you were, Rebecca, but I had a great time working with you and everybody in person, but it was like small and compact and fast, which I loved.
Yeah. I mean, same. And again, like, you know, this is for both of us, our third season writing and stuff. So writing to me was a lot more fun because it's like, oh, I kind of know how to write for people a little bit more because I've been performing with folks. So, and we were both able, at least I was, to write on more episodes. So that was really cool. But yeah, both the shoots in Philadelphia and then the shoots in LA, I mean, they were all just bam, bam, bam. And it was equal play, equal like, let's get this done. Let's hope this works and let's go for it.
Well, and for those of us that are the audience that are watching this live, first off, this is a compliment. This is pretty high praise that it's like Doctor Who. It's known for the jank looking of it. And
thanks, please, Mel.
I'll take a jank compliment anytime.
I'm okay to be jank.
Mm-hmm. That is high praise. And just another comment about this current season is that it feels like the true spirit of MST3K. So it's watching everybody and perform. So yeah. So what makes for a good Turkey Day marathon movie? Some of these flicks that are included in this. We've got The Sword and the Dragon, The Starfighter, Catalina Caper. I mentioned Santo and the Treasure of Dracula, which I like. Horror Ooh, Party so Beach. Yeah. There's a bunch of them. So
we have a couple of, Everything is Free to Watch. And a couple of the movies, as you mentioned, Santo, these are season 13. So no one has been able to see them outside of the Gizmoplex. Mm-hmm. So this is very exciting. It could be the first time people get to see these and see that we've got amazing episodes that they probably maybe haven't watched, and they want to get in there and watch the rest of them because honestly, the season is really great.
Yeah.
Two of those movies and a short, I think, are from season 13.
Yeah. The Sleep for Health is a new Joel Robinson riff, not old. Yeah. It's new. Yeah.
Uh huh.
And yeah, I like that. I mean, I always love when Misties get to vote on what they get to see, and I like that we're seeing they voted on things that I feel like they haven't voted on for a while. I feel like sometimes there are some standards for MST3K Turkey Day. And this year, you know, we're seeing a couple that, we just haven't seen in a while. And I'll take a Catalina Caper almost any day, though.
Catalina Caper is one of my favorite.
That is such a great one.
Good. Yeah, it really is.
And then it was really fun. I don't know whose idea it was that Kinga and Cynthia host, but I have to say I was real happy to hear it.
I feel like we could have gone on the road for sure. Like weird dynamic. I mean, I'm borderline abusive to everybody, but there's kind of like, I feel like I have mother issues a little bit, and it kind of brings out a little conflict in me that probably makes me more insecure, which is probably really funny. Hopefully.
I mean, is it cathartic being dastardly, being evil, being a mad?
Oh yeah. I like screaming at people. It's what I do inside anyway. I just don't let it out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rebecca, I mean, you don't really scream so much as Cynthia, do you? Is there a lot of screaming?
Not on camera. Like I did the two, for the two live shows that I did, you know, as Cynthia, especially the second tour, like I was literally running the show. So she shouts like when King is not around, then she's top dog, but she knows her place in the pecking order. So she'll do things to appease Kinga. So then Kinga will ignore her and then she can go do her own thing. Right. So I don't tend to yell as much as Cynthia on camera as I can.
I really thought for a moment we were about to get a really juicy scoop where you're like, not on camera, but I am a nightmare to work with.
Oh,
she's a nightmare.
All know.
I have bruises. She bashes me on the head only where my hair is. So that's good. At least we're improving on that one.
And I said at the beginning, like of every writer's room, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win riffing. Mm-hmm, and that's it. I'm here to win MST3K. That's my whole MO. So,
I've never seen her laugh at anyone else's joke.
I don't
and
like
it's almost like she's exploding inside because a lot of funny people are on the show, but like, she will not laugh at anybody else's joke.
I won't support anyone. No.
We have a comment here. Someone says poor Patton. and I feel like, can you address this? Should we feel some sympathy for Patton Oswalt?
No, he's working all the time. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's great.
Yeah.
He does love working on the show though. You can tell. Like it's kind of like vacation time for him, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And he's a sweetie. Like, I wish we could work with him more. But again, he's like touring the world.
He's like super in demand. But yeah, it is always cool. Like, you know, I love being the kind of fly in the wall, especially when Patton and Felicia are, you know, on camera together. That's when it's really hard to like not ruin takes being off stage. Cause there were a couple times I was getting my makeup done, in fact, and the makeup artist is like, we just have to stop until they're done shooting because you can't sit still. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. But like, yeah, Patton and Felicia are really a real delight on camera and off.
Thank
so
you.
We don't have sweet. To feel sorry for any of us.
No. Ever. We're all like living the dream. Like if I told young Felicia, hey, you're going to be on Memphis 2-3-K, that TV show you watch and actually enjoy with your little brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never. Yeah.
Well, make a good case for the Turkey Day Marathon as a family bonding experience. Why is this something that family should gather together and take part in?
Because I think the way we write, the way it's always been written, you know, you just throw a lot of stuff on the wall and see what sticks. And I love hearing what other people might laugh at as opposed to what I would laugh at. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's quotes. If you're anything like my family or my friends, you're going to re-quote, you're going to find some weird riff that just delights you to no end. And you're going to say it to each other weekly, if not daily, you know, for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
You're not going to see something that's too gross or too scary or too naughty, but it's still like legit hilarious.
Yeah. You know, as a mom, I mean, I've always appreciated the sort of like vaguely immature yet family friendly. Yeah. Hilarious tone of MST3K. But as a mom, you know, now I'm like, oh, I see why Joel really fights to keep it not blue, because there's nothing more delightful than sitting down with your family and having that connection with your kids and be able to watch something where you're like, hey, I'm enjoying this too. We're all actually okay here. And having that spirit, there's not a lot of things you can say that's okay. And so even though my 5-year-old doesn't watch MST3K yet, I can see in a couple years easily sitting down and enjoying a couple of the, just starting that tradition with her. And yeah, it's great. It is the spirit of Thanksgiving, because what else are you doing except watching the parade, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of eat so much that you torment yourself a little bit. You know what I mean? Like you kind of, at least I do, like eat way too much. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that? And then you can sit on the couch and be like, oh, why am I watching this horrible movie? But it's so good. And I'm going to go eat some more while I watch more of this. Like, it's just a fun way to stuff your face in every way possible.
Yeah.
Felicia, you mentioned watching MST3K with your brother. It calls to mind for me that when I was a kid, basically in some of the early sci-fi season days, that while some of my family members were watching sports ball, there would be the gathering of a couple cousins, the like-minded nerdy cousins. And that's what we would do. We would watch the MST3K Turkey Day Marathon. Do you have, was this a part of, was the Turkey Day Marathon specifically ever something that you did?
No, you know, not the Turkey Day Marathon, but just watching it on, I think it was Saturday mornings on like Comedy Central or something like that. Like that was required. There was no other thing that really sat me and my brother down together other than that. And the great thing is that he got to write on the episodes with me. I wrote on 2 episodes this season. Oh, yeah. He wrote on both of them, Batwoman and Munchies, which
I've got to say, thank God,
the audience didn't vote for that, Rebecca. That was the worst experience.
I think that'd be one thing where I'd try any rank that I have, I'd pull and be like, we can't let them see this. No.
Well, why is that the worst? Wait, why was that such a horrible experience?
Oh, that movie was just, because I wrote on Munchie as well, and it was lovely to finally get to meet your brother, Felicia, because I'd heard so much about him. I mean,
I don't even know how to describe it. It's just, it's like eating a poo, you know? You don't want to do it. Every time you take a bite, it's awful.
But someone was making us do it. I don't willingly.
Yeah, we were being paid to eat poo.
We were getting paid. Yeah. It just, you know, we're just.
So no Munchie too?
Well, see, there's a thing about it is there is a Munchies that was the prequel to Munchie, which is actually a better film to riff. And that's all we talked about the whole time.
Every day.
Was that why didn't we pick Munchies rather than Munchie?
And I think in Munchie 2, Dom DeLuise isn't even involved in that one, right?
Well, Munchie, the first one, he's not involved. Dom DeLuise comes in and just.
And he's
you think there was something good about this? I'm going to run over it. You know, he's just the, and I hated him as a child. Like, I don't know how There's, I have a thing about voices. So Dom DeLuise and Jeff Bridges, I cannot listen to them. Jeff Bridges is the lesser of the two evils. He sounds like a teddy bear that got reanimated, and it bothers me.
Yeah.
And it's irrational. I understand it. But Dom DeLuise, I feel like, deserved my hatred as a child because he was in the middle of Hollywood Squares. And I remember watching him like, well, don't cut to him. Don't do it. Don't give him any airtime.
Dang.
And what doing that movie. Oof.
Yeah. It's just
that was just a rough movie.
He was constant shtick. He was constant.
Yeah.
That was the Dom magic.
I feel like shtick, though, is a high praise for his work in Munchie. Like, that's the thing. I'm all for shtick, and I was kept waiting for it. And it just never happened for me. But yeah, that by far was like the worst. It was a fun writer's room, and I feel like we really, what was it?
Yeah.
When you spin gold into, when you turn, what's the word I'm looking for with the R? Not Rapunzel.
Yeah,
We spun a lot of comedy gold. Who's that character?
Rip Van Winkle?
Van Winkle did or Rapunzel did?
Maybe we Rapunzel did.
Oh, anyway. No, it's Rumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin, yes.
Yeah, we really totally Rumpelstiltskin that.
I feel like we Rumpelstiltskinned it, but it was a... We all like have sores and bruises from it forever.
I feel bad because the more we talk about Munchie, the more people are going to then vote for it or demand it on the next round. So
why would you do that?
I don't wield this power.
This is your fault.
It's probably my fault. Yeah, okay, well, we'll shift topics a little bit. But Thanksgiving movies in general, I was thinking about this, and there's a couple great movies that are set at Thanksgiving, Planes, mm-hmm. Trains, Automobiles, even though the topic, their Thanksgiving is horrible. But but is there a cringe level to Thanksgiving movies that doesn't exist with other holiday movies, or am I reading too much into it? Because I don't know. I don't know that it's a good movie, a good holiday for movies.
I remember there was an indie film I saw at Sundance about Thanksgiving, and it was like, Parker Posey or something was in it, and I just it is, right?
Yeah, it is. Well, I think the Ice Storm was set in Thanksgiving.
Was that the one I saw?
But there's another one that you're thinking of.
Yeah,
the one that where they're laying in a yard and they're just upset with each other, you know. And I just was like, wow, people get paid to do
Pieces of April.
That's it.
Ooh,
yes,
that was actually a good movie, but that's
an indie movie.
It was indie. Yeah, I think Halloween. Listen, nobody cares about Thanksgiving, all right?
Yeah.
2 days before Halloween, we get Christmas decorations everywhere. I went 2 days before Halloween to try to get like some extra. They were like, we're out of here. We're outsies. Like, it's all Christmas it's all the time right now. Thanksgiving is just like, it's sad. And anybody who's born between Thanksgiving and December is the saddest. And I feel bad for them. So my heart goes out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this, I think, is a great question that's popping up in our live chat, I feel like it demands being asked. And the question is if you wound up in a Planes, Trains, and Automobile situation, which one of you is the Steve Martin and which is the John Candy?
Ooh, that's hard.
Well, let's see. Felicia Pele's banjo, and I am a shower curtain ring salesperson. So, boy.
I mean, I'm definitely more uptight. Thanks. I feel like in general, Rebecca, I mean, you go to band things, don't you? Like out in concerts and stuff.
I do go to band things. So like a concert, you mean? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do attend a concert or two. I do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's a really good question from the chat.
That
I
like
that. That is great. Gosh, and it's been so long since I've seen that movie too. There's so many great.
Mm-hmm. No, there's a lot. Everybody in the audience are clearly cinephiles because they are bringing up a lot of really good. Okay. And Pieces of April was a good movie. I'm going to look this up.
I remember.
I went to Sundance.
And I'm not reading any comments because I can't handle it. So if there's things I'm missing, I'm sorry, friends. You can pay my attention.
It's true because these are people that are definitely cinephiles appreciating some good films that are popping up in our comments. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, but yeah, mm-hmm. I was just thinking that maybe Thanksgiving movies are cringier than even low rent horror and B movie sci-fi. Oh. And I think it's because it's a holiday where they have to manufacture extra emotional manipulation, you know, it's like, past the stuffing, and this reminds me of the stuffing that my dear loved one made before she died horribly.
Right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Right.
Well, I mean, visually also, you're if you're doing something like this, it's like one of those, oh, around a holiday movies, right? But like visually, Thanksgiving is, why would you go with Thanksgiving rather than Christmas? Because Christmas is so much more attractive. So it's like, why not just make your movie a Christmas movie? Because everybody's still getting together. They're still having that dinner where they can argue and cry and get their Oscar. So why not just do
And
Christmas, right?
there's just something more emotional, I think, and there's more tension around Christmas because it's such a magical time of year for so many people. So to not maybe like Christmas is like, oh, there's some conflict. Whereas like Thanksgiving, if you don't like it, that's okay. People don't care about that so much, you know?
It's like, what, you don't like eating pie and like food that'll make you nap?
Or like you feel weird about how our country started? Okay, I understand. Sorry, I went there. But like
It's
like
true.
I get it. If and or if you are like a vegetarian or vegan, boy, I feel for like my vegan vegetarian friends who go
Oh,
home,
yeah.
especially to their like meat eating families, and they just get so much crap for like not wanting to eat turkey.
Oh, yeah. Lila
You
can't
can't
have
have
this
this.
pie. I mean, just get shut up.
Just let them be. It's our freedom to not eat turkey if we don't want to.
It's true.
So that's my platform.
But I agree that maybe why not just go for a Christmas movie? But I think maybe it's because they don't have the budget to license the Christmas carols, the Christmas movie songs
Oh,
for
yeah.
Oh,
it. So
true.
they're
There
like, look, we can't afford Christmas.
Hey, you can play the Nutcracker. That's not licensed
Yeah,
anymore.
the
So like you can
Nutcracker, all the
Tchaikovsky it
like
up. Come
the
on.
Queen Winslist and all that. So that's
Yeah,
not
all
old.
those
That's
old,
old.
like green sleeves. Come on, that's old
Yeah,
English.
that's hundreds. Nobody's gonna sue you over that.
Yeah. You asked for Mariah Carey, but we've got you good King Winslessus. I
Right.
don't
Yeah.
want,
Right.
I can't even
You
say his
will get
name,
it.
but
You will get a DSM. You will get a takedown on YouTube, though. If it, you know, somebody will claim that they did, in fact, write
Right.
Jingle Bells, and you will
Yeah.
get a takedown
Right.
and
Or they'll
have
be
to
like,
fight it.
King Winslis was my cousin, my uncle, and I don't like you.
From the Winslessus estate.
You know, Doug Winslessus is relentless, very litigious. He's going to go after you.
Yes. Well,
I
for you
speak from
guys,
experience. Sorry.
what are some of your Thanksgiving traditions that you grew up with versus kind of what you do with your own family and partners now? What are some of the traditions that you guys grew up with for Thanksgiving?
Well,
Felicia.
we. Oh,
Oh, no,
sorry.
Rebecca, go.
Felicia, if you have it, I did
No, I
not mean to
don't. No,
overstep.
go, 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 go.
For many years, we had to hide the pumpkin pie from my father because he would lick his finger and then go right through the middle of the pie. So he was the only one who could eat it because he's kind of a brat like that.
Wow, he's a monster.
What?
Yeah, and
That's a monster.
my grandma would, you know, lovingly make pumpkin pie. And when I was little, I couldn't say pumpkin, so in my family we say kapunka pie because that's how I used to say pumpkin. And I'd be like, "Where's the
That's
kapunka pie?"
adorable.
So we would hide the kapunka pie from Kevin Hansen because if he found it, he would like lick it so he could be the only one
That's,
to
I
eat
mean,
it.
that's the worst thing to
It's
do
pretty
on
smart,
Thanksgiving.
but it's pretty smart, but it's pretty crappy
Evil,
to do.
evil.
It's
That's an
evil.
evil man.
He could be a man.
Yeah, I
The
mean, I come by it somewhat naturally. So yeah, for like a lot of for many years, he doesn't do it so much anymore. But for a long time, we had to make sure that dad was not around the pie at all.
I have to say that's not the direction I thought you were going into. My brain and like just the nanosecond that you said we used to hide the pumpkin pie from my dad. I thought this was going to be a setup for then, and then dad had to go around the house searching for the pumpkin pie in order
Oh
to
yeah, it was a
the whole.
cute little story.
Oh,
No, it
it
was a
was a
story
cute.
of
No.
selfishness
No,
and
it's a
pathology.
story of like what to not teach your children to
Pie
do.
sabotage. Yeah.
I wish I had as
On a
fun
holiday
a
of
story.
sharing.
Exactly. But now I'm giving like for those people who just really love pumpkin pie, I'm like giving them a bad idea of like, oh, maybe they'll think, oh, I can try this, and this is how I can taint my family pie is
Take the
by
pie.
looking at it. Yeah.
I hope your fan base that's showing up here are not monsters like Kevin Hansen.
He's the sweetest guy, but he will try to like take
He's
all the pumpkin
ruthless
pie
when it comes
himself.
to pie. It's just
Yeah,
like a
he really
starter.
is. He really
Anything
is.
with crust. What about quiche? Would he do it with a quiche?
No. Just
Only
pie. No
pumpkin
quiche.
pie, or does this
Okay,
extend to key lime or
just with kapunka pie, because he
pumpkin pie?
doesn't do baked fruit, y'all. So he won't really do an apple pie or cherry pie,
So
and he's
this
not
is
super
like
chocolate.
his one time a year he gets
Yeah,
his.
that's what I'm saying. Like that's why it was
All right, I'll understand a little bit more.
Pretentious. So
All right.
I'm sure that's a pretty common tradition many families have, right?
I don't know, Felicia, do you have any monsters in your family?
I have no traditions. I don't really remember anything but people fighting at Thanksgiving. So I'm not really I have my own tradition. My brother comes out and we pay for someone to cook all of it, and we pick it up the day before and we reheat it. And that's the best tradition.
That's pretty good.
I make my own pumpkin pie because I am a very good pumpkin pie maker. Okay. Everything else gets heated up. And yet the turkey is still never hot. Like, it's already a pre-cooked turkey and still put it in the, and it just never is hot. It's always a drag. And I don't know why we even do it. I wish we could just go to the taco place and get this over with, but you know, it's fine. We got it. We're doing it. And that's the tradition.
How do you explain Thanksgiving to your kid? She's five, right? You said
she hates it.
Yeah. Well, because it's not like Christmas. You get to open things. It's not like Halloween. You could dress up.
Yeah. She literally says, this is stupid. And I'm like, well, it's a time where we give thanks for the people we have and the things that we have in life. Some people don't have a lot, and we just need to be grateful. Stupid. When's Christmas? Yeah. When's my birthday? When's, do you get candy? I mean, she doesn't say it like a jerk like that, but she's certainly not like, wow, I love this holiday.
She's like, wow, oh, this lukewarm turkey is so great.
She doesn't eat anything. I have to make, because she doesn't eat meat. She won't eat. She may eat a little bit of mashed potatoes, and I'll have to make her like a side of miso soup or something, you know? So
The classic Thanksgiving dish.
Miso soup. Does she like your pumpkin pie? Does she eat that at all?
Nope. She has vanilla with vanilla frosting. That's it.
Ooh, see, I don't blame her for that. That's pretty great. That sounds good.
I make a pretty good cake. If you need one, let me know.
So I think, and someone from the Kevin Hansen is now being rebranded as the Pie Miser. You've got the Cold Miser and the Heat Miser.
Oh my gosh.
And now you got the Pie Miser.
I can't wait for this. I will say this, to redeem my father, he does not like turkey, but he makes the best turkey in the world, and he smokes it, and he learned how to spatchcock. And first of all, he learned the word spatchcock, so he won't stop saying it. Exactly. So he's like, hey, I'm spatchcocking the turkey again. And I'm like, all right, dad, cool. Yeah. He makes the best turkey in the world, even though he won't eat it. We always have to have ham for him. So ham and pumpkin pie.
That's interesting. So you make a whole ham, or you just get a ham?
He will make a ham.
Wow. That's really, I've never made a ham. I don't even know how you make a ham.
You know what? I ordered one a couple years ago for Thanksgiving.
Honey baked ham.
Honey baked ham is good.
Oh, it's so good.
But I think between Pie Miser Hansen and then Felicia's daughter, who doesn't have the spirit of Thanksgiving, this is like a Rankin and Bass stop motion animation special waiting to happen.
Everyone's going to be super excited to spend Thanksgiving with you and me, Felicia.
I know. We'll have a combo. It'll be adorably dysfunctional.
This is a time of like kind of interesting foods that we don't normally eat. Not just turkey and then pie that has some finger marks across it. There's just some strange casseroles and whatnot. Are there any dishes out there that are kind of weird, but yet you've eaten and somewhat enjoyed, even though you're like, this is maybe just a little bit of a peculiar kind of dish or casserole? Anything like that?
I mean, I never get it every year because nobody in the family likes sweet potatoes or yams. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that suddenly once a year, a marshmallow gets an entree spot. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
You put the sweet potatoes in the marshmallow and you kind of torch it. It's so good. And yet nobody in my family will eat it. So I can't make it for myself. That just feels weird. So I just have to kind of stare longingly at other people's plates. Mm-hmm. You know, hi, yams. I don't get you, but I really like you. So yeah, that's me. I don't know. It feels strange to me.
Ode to a yam.
Ode to a yam. Now,
appreciated yam.
Like, yeah. is it the marshmallow aspect too that you like?
It's only the marshmallow and yam.
For Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a dessert. It's a dessert entree.
Oh yeah.
It is. It's just like, here's the yam. Let's pile a bunch of brown sugar and marshmallows and maybe some, I don't know, pecans or whatever into it too. But it still gets served along with the turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a strange situation. I will say, and Rebecca, I want to hear from you too, but my mother, God love her, would, since my childhood, make this, I don't know, weird, strange, gelatinous kind of like casserole. I think it must come from like some 70s Home Goods magazine or whatever, that I don't know if it was called ambrosia or what, but it was an off color of green. Yep. There was marshmallows or weird nuts in it. It was just like, you know, sweeping the table of all the crumbs and whatnot and adding marshmallows to it and then maybe some jello. It tastes strangely like a blue Hawaiian in alcoholic terms.
Sure. Ooh.
It was somewhat compelling.
Yeah.
No. But you like this or no? Disgusting. It sounds disgusting.
I don't know, because it's locked into my brain as something that was part of my childhood that I don't necessarily like. It's like a peep, eating a peep, you know? It's not necessarily something I enjoy, but it's something that brings me back.
Yeah.
No, I get you.
Like a circus peanut or something. Yeah, like to me, that's very like church potluck food to me, like the ambrosia type thing, where it's like, that is a taste of childhood. I don't know if I like it or not, but it's a taste of home.
Do you
my mom used to make like manicotti. Yeah, there's certain things you're just like, oh, that's my mom. She used to make manicotti. Yeah. Or my dad used to make these, he'd use rice to make pancakes. And I'm like, I don't know how he did it. They were not good, but I just remember them. You could definitely like use them as tile on your roof, or you could eat them for breakfast. But like that cinnamon and the rice, you know, like it's all, okay.
I think it's maybe we just have so much food happening at these holidays that we have to come up with weird Franken food recipes to add to it. It's like, well, it's certainly not enough to have turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes. We need some funky ambrosia potluck thing. Do you do you bake, Rebecca? Did you say?
I mean, I will sometimes. I've never made a turkey, and if I don't ever have to, I'm fine with that.
Aren't you? You're not a vegetarian? I thought you were vegetarian.
No. No, I mean, I'm from Iowa, so I'm a real meat and potatoes kind of gal. But I will say this. I have never and I will never understand green bean casserole, and I just don't care for it. And I feel like there are a lot of people who love it, which is great. But if it's on a table, you can have all of it. I don't want any of it. I don't like it. Just give me regular fresh green beans. I don't need
I used to go to a lot of cafeterias as a kid, and sort of that canned green bean thing where they just kind of disintegrate in the little tiny pieces. I'm like, this was as a crime against vegetality.
So that's your boycott dish. And then Felicia, your boycott dish are the candied yams or whatever.
No, why would I boycott
What's your boycott dish then?
Oh, Brussels sprouts. Because first of all, they taste disgusting. Second of all, I will fart for 38 hours after that, like precisely 38 hours. It's awful. It does not agree with my digestive system, and I will not eat them. Okay.
As long as you can time it to 38 hours, it's sort of like you've got a werewolf problem on your hands. Like, you know that it's a full moon situation. You can control it.
If it was worth it. If it was worth it, like, wow, I'm going to have to pay for this later, but it's so yummy. It tastes like trash.
Yeah. Okay.
I have had Brussels sprouts that are very good. There was like Brussels sprout, like Caesar salad situation I had at a fancy restaurant one time. That was delicious. And if you really char them, so they get like.
I was going to say, if there's crunch, I can take it.
Yeah, they're crunch. Yeah, you're right. If they're soggy, that's the problem. Yeah.
Or like once I had this kind of warm Brussels sprout salad, and then it had like a bit of a bacon dressing on it. And that was all right. That was at like a work Thanksgiving potluck situation. And I was very surprised.
Brussels sprouts, though, typically they're the dish that, and I'll eat them. Look, I'll eat them and I'll say I enjoy them. But honestly, in the inner heart of hearts, we know that we like them the most when they don't taste at all like the thing they are.
Yeah,
and 100%. If they're like salty and crunchy and charred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like crickets. Have you ever had crickets? It's like you're just crunching.
I have had, like, as in the insect crickets.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have. Crickets are just like, it's just a deep fried thing.
Yeah, anything deep fried is just going to taste like the fry.
Yeah,
you know, the batter.
And it's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's not that good that's deep fried that I learned? And I was with Jill Hodgson, and this is why I'm bringing it up, because we went to the Wisconsin State Fair in 2017 when we were on our MST3K tour and we had a day off. So Jill's like, let's go to the fair. And so I did. They had deep fried Twinkies, but they were rainbow Twinkies. So the frosting inside was like pink and blue, and it wasn't good.
Oof.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. That's the one deep fried thing. Cause I don't mind a Twinkie, and I don't mind like things deep fried. Like, I've had a deep fried Oreo. That's great. But like the deep fried Twinkie with that pink, I think part of it was like the red dye and the frosting, you know, the deep fry just brought out the red dye.
That's too bad.
I love talking about food, but I love talking about food with you guys specifically. I'm as far as movies.
Oh yeah, and then there are movies.
There's also
don't
movies.
Put movies in your mouth.
Yeah, don't eat a movie. Well,
I need a movie, or maybe you can,
or maybe the I know, like, Joel has talked about that it's not just about bad movies. It's about movies that have that people put their heart and soul into. That's mm-hmm. what make a good it just doesn't quite cross the finish line. But there's also movies that I personally I can love that I also think would be a great MST3K movie. I have a fondness mm-hmm. for it. Are there any movies like that from your childhood or even modern movies that not that you're dogging on it, not that you're saying this is like a terrible movie, but a movie that you think I like it should definitely be an MST3K, get the MST3K treatment?
Wow. That's, I mean, I've always said The Wraith with Charlie Sheen would be the best movie because it's, I mean, it's just one of the worst things I've ever seen. Although it's a little bit murderous. It's probably a little too violent for MST3K. Mm. But I remember watching that several years ago at midnight. I was like, this is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I mean, but also just like, nostalgia's sake, like maybe Pretty Woman. Like, I feel like you could do a riff on Pretty Woman,
yeah,
which is pretty, you know, it's dated. And the way that it's, you know, it's Julia Roberts is delightful. But it is sure. about a prostitute and yeah.
right.
A sex worker who is saved by a man. You know, it's like not the most contemporary storylines, I think. I feel
but
like
I mean,
that
she can drive the car better than he can. So it's yeah. like kind of feminist.
Yeah. It's problematic, I think.
I
don't
know. Oh, yeah, I mean, there's a whole slew of movies from the 80s from my childhood that looking back on just, yeah, you know, when we start looking at them, they're just yeah. not going to hold up. I mean,
yeah.
you know, Revenge of the Nerds, what? Like,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my gosh, so yeah.
You know.
Porky's?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
But what about mm-hmm. you, Rebecca? Anything that maybe you like or that you think could be worthy of a misty treatment?
I mean, there are a lot, I'm sure. The one that kind of pops out to me is there's this old Disney movie that we would watch sometimes as kids called The Gnome Mobile.
Okay.
And it's one of those old Disney's. Why am I blanking on the gentleman who voiced Tigger? And he's also in Mary Poppins. He's Uncle Albert. He's one of the gnomes. The two children from Mary Poppins, they're in this movie. And it's about a gnome who gets separate, a gnome and his grandpa who gets separated.
It doesn't look good.
It's not good. It's real trippy. It's real weird. It has a song that gets stuck in your head that will never leave your head once you know it. And I keep thinking, I mean, it's owned by Disney, so I doubt.
Yeah, there's no way they would get it.
But I don't think they are going to let it onto Disney Plus. I think, like, I made my husband watch it a few years ago because he had mm-hmm. no idea what I was talking about. And my cousins and I bring it up all the time. And we were able to rent it through Amazon, I think, because Disney, it's like too randy for Disney. Because basically they reunite this gnome with this colony and then all these girl gnomes have to, like, chase after him. And catch
what?
Him. Whoever catches him, that's who they're gonna like help repopulate this new gnome colony.
Is it?
That sounds like a Mobile... Laurel K. Hamilton book.
Yeah. the Mobile part.
Yes. There... So yes, there is. So there's this wonderful old jalopy that this rich man owns because this rich man owns like all the forest and he's cutting down the trees for his. He's killing basically this rich, you know, business owner guy. I can't remember his name, but he owns this wonderful old car that he takes his grandchildren out into the woods. And that's where they first seen the gnome. Of course, the grandpa doesn't believe that these kids are seeing gnomes. He is the one who transports this lost gnome to this gnome colony in his
wow.
gnomobile. The song starts out called In My Jaunting Car. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into the Gnomobile.
Okay.
And I don't know. I mean, I can sing some of it for you, but I don't know if we have the rights for that. So, oh my God. But yeah, the Gnomobile, please look it up. And I feel like MST3K could have a heyday with that.
In my career of avoiding lawsuits and whatnot, it's almost like I don't want to attract the ire of Disney, but maybe right. for something as random as this, it would be almost worth, I'm not going to ask you to sing it, but okay. I'm so tempted. Because it would be
see if they're paying attention.
Yeah. yeah. Like this is where they decide to like yeah. come after yeah. me.
Right, right.
Yeah. This is it. This is a tipping
you know
point. They're
I
like
think...
back off the Gnomobile.
Yeah. We've got big plans for that franchise.
right. Oh my gosh. So yeah.
And as it happens, Lin-Manuel Miranda is writing the book. We're bringing it back.
Oh, bring the Gnomobile back. Yeah. No, for all you out there who don't know it, look it up. get on that internet, see what you can find out about it, and learn that song and sing it and carry it in your heart.
I feel like as much as a Disney fan as I am, there's definitely a lot of old Disney flicks because they were just churning them out.
Oh, yeah.
That would make for good MST3K mm-hmm. flicks, you know?
Yeah. They were really, I think they were kind of like the equivalent of the Hallmark movie, you know, nowadays.
It's just you're right.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a lot of them. I mean, even That Darn Cat is probably the worst thing ever.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about That Darn Cat.
I remember watching that. I remember hate watching those movies. Like, I really do. I remember hate watching them. And I, even as a young child, you're like, this doesn't pass the quality test. I'll tell you that.
There's like a fair amount of those movies, those Disney movies that were, it was sort of like the Hanna-Barbera formula of, okay, now we need this with a, you know, instead of like a quirky talking car or talking shark or whatever, it'd be like, and then this will be the robot in this one. It's a cat or it's a boy or it's a, or they're going to space to do this or whatever. It was just the cut and paste movie by numbers.
I mean, that's kind
that darn
of
cat,
somehow
that what, darn
like,
robot.
Just, but kind of like with modern like cartoons for kids, it's like, all right, who's the adorable little pet, you know, sidekick for Moana or Elsa? It's like every single character has to have. And then you see the people who are knocking off the Disney movies. And it's like they do it even worse. You know, it's like, I hate it. I just want to have a jail where we put pet sidekicks in and just kind of like, you know, like a pound or something.
And then turn that into a movie that I'm sure would make $1 billion.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Someone did say, do not touch the sacred black hole. I'm assuming they're referring to the movie. You know, black hole. Yeah. I think there's good movies that would make for some interesting MST3K treatment.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I mean, I asked earlier about what Kinga and Cynthia are up to for the Turkey Day marathon. But if you're going to take these ladies outside of this universe and put them in the real world, what might they be doing for Thanksgiving? What would they be cooking? What would they be doing? And bring it into the real world a little bit. Rebecca, you want to start?
I mean, I think Cynthia, let's be honest, she would. You know how like the night before Thanksgiving is the big night at the bar? You know, everyone goes home, but they like go out drinking the night before to see like old high school friends or, you know, just that's where Cynthia would be, man. She'd be cleaning up at the bar like because she's in it for herself, you know, like so she'd be like, hey, who's coming home? Who's feeling bad about their life and wants to feel good about it? Or who feels good about their life and wants to feel bad about it? I'll talk to them. And then she would probably be kind of hungover the next day for Thanksgiving, but she'd pop in and see everybody and just breathe on all the food and then leave.
Kevin Hansen would approve, perhaps.
She wouldn't. Well, maybe she would mess up someone's pie. No, I don't think she'd be that mean. I don't know.
I just love the fictional mad. Can't approach the villainy of your real life father.
My dad's such a teddy bear. I feel bad that I told
him. He's the worst. We all know.
but it is really funny because he's so sweet. But that's like the most like devious thing he does is like ruining.
Pretty bad.
If I thought Twitter was going to stick around long enough, I would say we should start a hashtag campaign for Kevin Hansen, pie hater.
Pie miser.
Pie miser. Felicia.
Oh, I love it.
What about Kinga? If you're going to place her in the real world, what would she be like for Thanksgiving?
I believe that Kinga would be dropping hints for about 3 months in advance that she doesn't really have any obligations for Thanksgiving. Wanting to be invited to somebody's either Thanksgiving or friends, you know, like orphan Thanksgiving or something like that.
Friendsgiving.
No invites would appear. So she would sit in her house cleaning it to a maniacal degree and order Chinese takeout and then hate look on Instagram at all the other people who are having fun without her crying.
Oh, that's so terribly sad and tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then she'd see like Cynthia creeping in on all people too on Insta too, like, you know, like, I don't know.
The bar, the photos from the bar, the night previous.
Right. Yep.
thank you guys for this. Has just been such a strange story. I actually did have prepared questions and then we just went
and
talked about food.
Is there one thing that we can answer that we need to that we didn't, Aaron? I don't want to ruin your show.
Oh,
ruin
no,
your program.
No. Look, I love it because it's just this is just lots of randomness. I mean, I enjoy it because, you know, sometimes no plan is the best plan. So
good. You can't wrangle us. We're
no.
Yeah, don't try. Just for your own safety, don't even try, man.
I feel like we've learned things about one another, and really we've gone on a journey. And you know,
I can't believe I revealed such a deep family secret.
You're still like caught up in this? Wow.
Yeah.
Boy,
it's gonna be hell at Thanksgiving this year. This is gonna go viral.
Yeah. This
my
is gonna
dad
be great for
say,
traffic.
Exactly. And you're right. You're
terrible
right,
for your father. But, you know, great for me, really.
Yeah, he would never yell at me, though. He would never yell at me, so I know I can do that. So
yeah, we love Kevin Hansen. Nobody harassed Kevin Hansen on on social media or anything. He is not a pie miser. He's just a man with the deep love of pumpkin pie or pumpkin pie. What is it?
Kapunka pie.
Kapunka pie.
Kapunka pie.
Kapunka.
And if you eat too much kapunka pie, you have to go to the hospitalope. Because those are two words I couldn't say as a child.
Hospitalope. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, my
adorable
little sister was born in a hospital. But yeah, if you have too much kapunka pie, you're gonna go to the hospital. So just watch how much kapunka pie you eat. Yeah.
Again, I'm just hoping to get this put together in a project with Felicia's Thanksgiving hating daughter and your father. I think this is going places. We're gonna make Thanksgiving the true holiday.
Yeah, the number one American holiday. Yeah.
But until then, everyone out there can watch the 2022 Turkey Day Marathon ad free in the MST3K indie streaming platform, the Gizmoplex at gizmoplex.com. It's the only place to get episodes from the all new 13th season, but you can also check it out on a variety of streaming platforms and apps. And in the Gizmoplex, this year's marathon is not only free, it's also available on demand. And that is going to be from Thursday, November 24th through Monday, November 28th. And
starts at 4 a.m. on Thursday.
4 a.m. So, yeah. I know.
So when you're up cooking that turkey, you can join us two turkeys. I will say, these were really fun sketches. I hope everyone can see it.
They were very funny. They made me laugh. Really,
and that's all I'm going to say.
Belly laughs, belly aches, and basting starting at 4 a.m. or 7 a.m. East Coast.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once again, my guests are Felicia Day, Rebecca Hansen, and I look forward to seeing it, but I also look forward to seeing more of you guys on MST3K and all your other projects. It is just such a treat. So thank you. And for everyone out there, until next time, be kind, stay spooky, and keep it weird. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Talking Strange is a part of the Den of Geek Network, available wherever you listen to other podcasts. If you like what we're doing, share Talking Strange with your friends and fellow spooky nerds. And please subscribe, rate, and leave a nice review. If you have a strange or paranormal story you would like to share with us, please email talkingstrange@denofgeek.com for a chance to have it read on a future episode. For video episodes of Talking Strange, check out twitch.tv/denofgeektv and youtube.com/denofgeekus. And please follow @talkstrangepod on Twitter and @AaronSagers on Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon for more paranormal pop culture content.